The Gaff Goddess is on the line. Laura De Barra, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Good to talk to you.
You as well.
Thanks for coming into our London studio. It's not really ours, but we call it that for the day.
It's ours now.
It's ours now for the next 20 minutes or so. Well, 10 minutes. Now, people viewing to rent or to buy, this is what you do for a living.
It is.
So you have all the tricks of the trade. So you're going to fly through those and then we'll get to our listeners' questions about various things around the house. You're into a property. What do you look at?
So I always say the easiest way to remember it is don't forget your swishes. So don't forget to swish, basically. So I have this on my website and I'll tweet it to you later as well if people need to put it on their phones. So S stands for shower. It's one of the main complaints I hear a lot of times. Turn on the shower and see what the water pressure is like. And if you have a good temperature, check the bathroom tap as well because sometimes it's a clogged shower head. W stands for white goods. So get your nose in, stick your head into the fridge and get a good nose in there. See if they're in good condition. You'll also want to check if they're going to be staying for the tenancy as well. I stands for instant hot water. So a lot of people won't check in a viewing. Do they need a boiler? Does it need to be like preheated water? Uh-huh. Is it instant hot water, etc.? S stands for services. Now, this is one that people get. Oh my God, it happens to so many people. They don't check whether they have signal on their phone when they're in the viewing. And if they need a certain speed, like now that a lot of people are working from home, can you get the right speed and the right broadband, especially if it's a new build and especially if you need a particular provider? Then then H stands for heating. So is it gas or electric? Bills are rising as we know. So you want to make sure that you're getting involved with bills that you're going to be comfortable with for the duration of the lease. Mm-hmm. Then E stands for entrances and exits, especially if you're going to be living on your own. Please check your entrance. Watch the agent open the door and close the door. Have a look at how smooth it is. See if lights are coming on and off. Make sure that it's not overlooked. Make sure that it's safe and that you're going to feel okay coming in. Like I always say, imagine the property on the coldest, most rotten February evening.
Yes.
Will you be happy here? And then the final S stands for storage. You've got to think about what you're going to be bringing with you. And while I'm on that, what I often bring if I have certain investors that need particular furniture, I bring a duvet cover with me. And to be honest, like, I don't really care what an agent will think anyway. And I think they prefer you to be thorough because they prefer to recommend you to a landlord if you are. So if you have a king or a double, just bring your duvet cover in your bag, roll it up and throw it out on the floor in the bedroom if you think that space is going to be tight and see which way your bed can go. Usually if you fold it in half, it's going to be about the size of a sofa. And you can see if you're, but I also mark with a bit of masking tape on the duvet cover what size it's going to be, and in each room I can just fold it back to those sizes. Nobody's going to think you're mad if you're going to be thorough, right? I'd be looking at someone thinking this is stunning. Bring a measuring tape and bring a list of things. It's easy to forget when you're in there. Bring a list of things that have to come with you as well.
Yes, so swishes, a duvet cover, some masking tape, a measuring tape, and something to write down. That's all good. That's all good stuff. That's really sound advice. Okay, we said you were coming on, Laura, and the more you're on, the more questions we get, if you know what I mean.
Living.
People know who you are now. Fiona's been on. She says, what does Laura think about feature walls? I still like the thought of it in a bedroom, but is it a bit Celtic tigery?
Listen, if I was going off what other people thought, I'd be bored. If you like them, go for it. There are some things from the Celtic Tiger that were okay, but a feature wall done by you, I'm assuming if you love them, it's going to be fabulous and people are going to walk in and think, ooh, it's very her. So if you like it, please do it.
Well, you know, if it's the bedroom, there isn't going to be a parade of people into the bedroom, I assume.
Well, you never know. She's lucky.
Yeah, you know. But it was very, very Celtic Tigery, wasn't it? Remember all those show house programs and there was always...
Red and purple.
Yes, a feature wall. Okay, so whatever you want to do yourself, Fiona. Bill's been on. He says, there's a large brown stain on the back of my toilet bowl that I haven't been able to shift. The bowl itself seems to be stained as it is a fine, is fine to the touch. I've tried sprays and elbow grease, but nothing has helped. Do you have any suggestions, Bill?
Yes, Queen V. Vinegar is going to help you here. Basically, this is limescale and it's just growing on top of itself the whole time. So it'll almost be powdery. So first of all, I would give it a dig with like the back of a spoon or something like that, just to kind of break the surface a small little bit. Then I would put a bottle of white vinegar in, the distilled white vinegar, leave it overnight and that's going to start eating into it. You might need to do that two nights in a row. Something else which has also worked if you need it done really quickly is a 2-litre bottle of full fat Coke. That can really work. I don't often than recommended, but this one sounds like it needs it. It's not as gentle as the vinegar, but fire that in and leave it overnight. I've had to do it many a time.
The corrosive power of Coca-Cola.
Great for you.
Not their tagline. Okay, good luck with that, Bill. Good luck with that. Gemma is in Waterford. She says, how do you get a musty smell out of an antique wardrobe?
Oh, stunning. So what I would do first is make sure that you vacuum the whole wardrobe. You want to get right into the cracks and creases. Usually it's dust, and then because it was a wardrobe, it's going to be holding clothes, it'll have skin cells in it, and that's going to be holding a scent as well. Then get a bowl of bicarbonate of soda, leave it in there, refresh that every couple of days. Also, if you want to get some water, bicarb and vinegar in a spray bottle, shake it up and spritz it around it and leave the doors open. That's going to also capture those odours and bring them out of the wardrobe.
So that's little creepy crawlies that are creating that. Is it bacteria?
No,
that smell?
No, it can be bacteria as well. Must is usually down to like human, basically. But what I also do is if you have a rip in a pair of tights, cut the toe off, fill with some lavender, tie it in a bow at the top and hang it off a hanger, and it'll just keep it smelling fresh. But it's also a nice moth repellent.
Right. Good luck with that, Gemma. Carmel's been on. She says, I have two young children and I made the unfortunate decision to paint the walls in a matte paint pre-children. Pre-children, yeah. How do I clean matte paint? It's not the new washable matte paint variety that I have, Carmel.
What I would do, a major advantage of matte paint is you can top it up quite easily. Uh-huh. So sometimes I put it in all of our tenancies so that people don't have to worry about their deposits in between. We can just cover it up and no one needs to worry about it. But what you'll need to do is you should get a damp white cloth. Don't get anything that's been dyed, or you'll transfer the dye onto the wall, and then press it against the stain and dab it off rather than rubbing it off. Then flash magic erasers, when they're not too damp, can be quite good on matte paint as well.
Okay, and that's good. When you use matte, you can just cover the offending stain with a bit of paint if you have it. Yeah, top it up.
If you kind of wipe down with a dry white cloth and then paint over it, but it's quite good because you don't, it's the shine that fades in a shiny paint that then you end up seeing all these patches when you top it up.
Right. Good luck with that, Carmel. Now, can you please ask Laura what best product to clean porcelain tiles? Also,
vinegar.
Best products to descale lime deposits in toilets. And
both vinegar.
Both vinegar.
Vinegar is safe to use on porcelain because it'll be protected by a glaze, but it's also quite natural, but it's great for leaving a high shine, and it'll also work into the lime scale.
And remind us about this vinegar. There is cleaning vinegar now, is it? Because of people like yourself or...
Queens, yes. So, I'm only joking. Yeah. So, it's got a high acidic level in it. And basically, cooking vinegar and cleaning vinegar, the only difference is it's a little bit higher in the cleaning one, but it also can be used for like pickling, basically. But in the cleaning ones, it comes in a larger, easier to use bottle.
Okay.
So, like, it'll have like a big handle and you can store it on the floor. It's not made out of glass and stuff. It's usually just more like user friendly when you
buy it. And you'll find
cheaper.
It in where the cleaning products are in your supermarket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tony says, just wondering, what would Laura recommend to clean mold from outside cushion covers?
Again, vinegar. So you can put it in, pop it into a wash where it's got, there'll be enzymes in the cleaner anyway. That will just take away the mold spores. It won't take away the black marks. So what you want to do there is you want to soak it in vinegar. If you pop it into a sink or a bath, a lot of people will be pulling out their summer stuff now going, oh my God, it's covered in mold. So you can get like a soft brush and just after you've washed it and you can work into the stain. But I will usually just get bicarb and vinegar, make a little paste, it'll fizz a little bit and leave it on top of the stain.
Okay. Now, Siobhan says, I'm looking for inspiration to do up my hallway in a small terraced house. I was thinking of putting tiles down, but I'm afraid of an echo in the hall. We had this in my family home and it drove me mad. Any way to avoid it?
Well, if you definitely want tiles, you could tile just the section inside the door. I have a whole section in Decor Galore actually on how to do a hall, because it's the one room you can have a lot of fun with because you're never sitting in it. So if it is echoey, you can add soundproofing to the walls. You can add in like a lovely data rail or panelling on the walls, and that will absorb the sound before it gets up near the ear, basically. It'll absorb it further down. So if tiles are more practical for you, pad the walls.
What about rugs?
Rugs are good, but you've got to be careful you're not slipping on the rugs when you're walking in the door. Usually you're putting tiles down so that you can just get rid of any mess the minute that it's down there.
Yes.
Whereas a rug is probably going to absorb it.
Yes, you're right. Fiona's a big fan of yours. Absolutely love turning on the radio and discovering Laura DeBarra is in full flow. I don't think Fiona cares what you're talking about. I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Has Laura ever used glitter paint? My daughter is asking, could she paint her room glittery? I looked it up. It seems there is something you can add in, but would love to hear Laura's thoughts on it, what she thinks it will look like.
I mean, I think it'll be stunning. If you're into glitter, you're usually one of the most fun people to have in a room. It's just, how are you going to feel if you're going to be reselling the home or taking it off afterwards? You'll probably need to put on a thick primer because it's going to be a bit grainy. Mix it in, get the glitter on the walls. Life is too short. If she wants glitter, it's going to be lovely, really. I think it's going to be fab.
I want to put my house on the market. There are a few issues with some walls that need a bit of plastering. Should I get someone to do it or will I just leave it for the next
owner? Don't bother.
All right, there you go.
Don't even bother. A lot of people, unless you're going to do it, don't bother doing it. Unless you're going to do something major, instead, people will come in. People love a little bit of a project when they come in. If it's not going to affect the kind of like structure of the house, if it's just a bit of plastering, you're fine. I have people spending like 20 grand or 10 grand like redoing a cosmetic thing for sales. The most important rooms are the kitchen and the bathroom. Just make sure they're clean.
Right. See, that's to me counterintuitive, that if there's a bit of plaster off the wall, fix it because it'll look nicer.
If it looks fine and it's not major, like if it's massive mold or it's something that will make the house look less in value, but if it's just a little bit of plaster damage here and there, you could just put a layer of paint over, but don't go into a deep fix of it. Like, yeah. Don't go getting someone in and spending a lot of money because you won't make that back.
Right.
You can cover it in paint, no worries, and then the next person can fix it, but you don't know what the next person's going to do to the house. So they could want to change it completely and have to replaster anyway.
Yeah, raise it to the ground maybe. Laura DeBarra, really love your company when you come on. Aww. So we'll talk to you in a few weeks' time. Mind yourself. See you, Laura.
Stunning. Bye. Thanks a million. Bye bye.
Stunning. Sarah and Cormac are on the way with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.